Today, I'm excited to interview Dr. Isaac Elias on our Mycotoxin Summit. Dr. Elias is an integrative medical doctor, licensed acupuncturist, researcher, author, product formulator, and frequent guest lecturer. He's been a pioneer in holistic medicine since the early 1980s with numerous peer-reviewed publications demonstrating the benefits of his innovative formulations and protocols. Dr. Elias is founder and medical director of Amitabha Medical Clinic in Santa Rosa, California, a leading-edge integrative health center specializing in cancer, environmental illness, and other complex chronic conditions. Dr. Elias is regarded as a leading expert in Galectin-3 and modified citrus pectin research, as well as a pioneer in the use of therapeutic apheresis blood filtration in the U.S. And I'm so honored to have Dr. Elias on this summit. He's been a very important mentor to me in medicine. He's literally influenced the way that I practice medicine today in a huge way. It is such an honor to have you here today, Dr. Elias. Thank you for joining.
It's such a joy for me to talk to you and see where you are and where you've gotten and how much you developed and how many people you help. It's like, you know, your success, I feel, is like my success in some way. So I feel proud.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Change the way I practice. Yeah. I'm so grateful to you forever. Thank you.
I'm happy.
So Dr. Elias, tell us about mycotoxins and their metabolic effects.
So, you know, I mean, mycotoxin is a great area of specialty for you, and there are a lot of people who focus on mycotoxins. So I want to look at mycotoxin in a little bit more of a holistic view than just certain chemicals. So really, mycotoxins are toxins that are produced by organisms, you know, they are actually mycotoxins. So when we want to look at them, when we look at them from the point of view of Chinese medicine, when we look at patients, when we look at the environment where we find them, often lipid solubles, often in areas that are anaerobic, they really correlate very much with the concept of phlegm, toxic phlegm in Chinese medicine, or wetness in Ayurvedic medicine, in Tibetan medicine. And so the mycotoxin, the people who are susceptible to mycotoxin often will also have this kind of constitution, a phlegmy constitution, very organized, very methodical, and very sensitive. People who are sensitive, who get influenced easily by outside influences. So when we look at a patient and we look at the mycotoxins, we always want to look at who is the host, what is the milieu, what is the terrain. Because if we, as you know very well, if we treat the terrain well, the person will heal. And so from the point of view of mycotoxins, because they are in areas that the body has less access to, they're able to hide, they're able to create their havoc often without us knowing until it's too late. They are in areas that are well enclosed, and they also have to hide the body from reaching to them. And naturally, they will shift the metabolism around them. You know, they will. We know, for example, that fungus grows really well on sugar. You know, right? We want a low glycemic index because when you have MTOR1 stimulated, when you have too much sugar, you shut down the normal metabolism of the mitochondria. MTOR1 is blocked, PDK gets activated, and pyruvate dihydrogenase gets blocked. We get dysfunction of the mitochondrial system. So we see it in Lyme disease, you know, that you see so much. We see it in mycotoxins. We see it in diabetes, the same MTOR1. Metformin blocks it, you know, anokiol blocks it. And we see it in cancer. So you have a very similar terrain leading to different diseases and cross references between the different diseases based on the environment.
I'm so excited to hear you talk about this because this is the piece of medicine, Dr. Elias, that nobody talks about how the terrain can influence and create different types of illnesses. So thank you for bringing this up. It's such an important piece.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And you know, as we talk a lot, we have this whole idea about the biofilm. You know, talk people about the biofilm. And so the biofilm, the microbiome creates it in many levels, it's a functional barrier, which relates to harmonious relationship between the microbiome, which is more than micro. Fungus takes a big role in the microbiome. People disregard it. Parasites take a big role. Viruses take a big role. And our body. So because this area again, but it's a barrier for our invaders. If we don't live in a harmonized way with our guests, they will fight. That's a fundamental issue. And let's step back. Let's look at our body, okay? And I want to explain this because from my perspective, instead of giving somebody fish, I want to teach them how to fish. I want to have a bigger understanding. It's not such a good, the understanding is much bigger than this, and I'll get to it. If we look at our body, Nafisa, we have 35 to 50 trillion cells, not million, not billion, trillion. You know how many reactions each cell has every second? Take a guess.
How many? Thousands.
Close to a million reactions. So you got about, let's say, 50 trillion cells having a million reactions in the body. And each cell in many levels is for itself, just like us. Just like we have our own identity with ourselves, self-identity. The cell identifies. The cell has a membrane. It decides what it wants to get in, right? And what it wants to throw out.
Yes,
right? Absolutely. It wants to survive. But it realizes that to survive, it has to live in harmony with the environment. And who tells the cell to live in harmony? Well, there's one organ that functions differently in the body. There's one organ in the body that instead of taking clean blood and letting go of toxic material like cells, organs do, the kidney, doesn't matter. The only organ that functions differently is the heart. The heart takes all the dirty blood from all over the body with open arms, connects with the universe through the breathing, and there's no oxygen in the mycotoxin environment. It's toxic. And then the heart gives blood without discrimination. Without discrimination. What do I mean? The aorta is stiff. You know, it cannot decide where the blood goes. It gives it everywhere. And who does the heart feed first when it gives blood everywhere? It feeds itself through the coronary arteries. So the heart feeds itself as part of the whole, and the heart feeds itself in order to feed the whole. That's why meditation that creates through the heart is so healing, and we can do it quickly. So why am I telling you all of this? Because this amazing 50 trillion cells working together with the heart electromagnetic field reaching every cell in our body, it's big enough, we have the same relationship with our microbiome, with 100 trillion organisms, with about 90% of our DNA material. So when we treat them well, the biofilm becomes an exchange. We know that if you give antibiotics to a person going through chemotherapy or immunotherapy, the treatment will not work. We know that a healthy microbiome make chemotherapy and immunotherapy work better in cancer. It's insane, the synchronicity. So in the same way, if we go to India, we go to the Far East, people are full of parasites and fungus, and they live a healthy life, right? No symptom. Why? Because there's no aggressive identifications. Yes. So when we create a problem, the mycosis in this case, and the parasites and the virus and bacteria responds with what? With survival response.
Yes.
So really, the infections and toxins are often a result of the survival response. So this is, wow, what do I mean? That's really why my book is finally out, should be out right now when this is airing, maybe next week or last week.
Yeah.
It's called The Survival Paradox.
I'm very excited. It's groundbreaking. It's going to turn a lot of people's heads to look in a new direction of thinking about medicine from complex chronic illness. I'm so excited to read your book. I'm so happy that you are providing our audience, even before the book is out or Justice is out, with this, with your new insights. So thank you, Isaac, for that.
See, I think it's very relevant to this because I know the way that you work, right? We always say, let's change the terrain. Let's change the terrain, and then people get better. So if we look at our survival, it's worthwhile. And then I'm going to tie it into mycotoxin. We look at our survival, we want to survive. So the immediate survival that we do, if survival is so innate to us, it has to be automated. And it's automated through the sympathetic system, through the autonomic system, right? We fight or flight.
Right.
But the other process of survival is we create barrier, we create a shield.
Yes.
So this is done through the nervous system, when we turn the sympathetic system on, and then we can relax with the parasympathetic and we are okay.
Yeah, and I've heard you talk a lot about cancer as creating a shield as well as a tumor as a shield. So it's like—
Exactly the same. Now, the metabolic process of creating survival is led by a protein called galectin-3.
Okay.
So galectin-3 is our survival protein, and it's a carbohydrate, a galacturonic, a carbohydrate binding protein. Mm-hmm. So galectin-3 is a backbone of the biofilm. So, you know, we talked about oxidized lipids and heavy metals and glycolipids and glycoproteins. They're all sitting on galectin-3 structure that literally creates through pentamers, it creates a lattice formation. It's physically, this whole concept of biofilm, that's actually what galactin-3 does.
Okay, and so I want to stop here for a second because I never hear anybody except for you talking about galactin-3. So people talk about biofilm, like you were saying, as the carbohydrate matrix. There's DNA, there's sugars in there. The galactin-3, I think, is a piece that's really, really, really important. And you're bringing it up. Nobody else brings it up. And that's why I want to sort of stop and put a spotlight here on the galectin-3 piece. So if you could just go on about that, I want our listeners' ears to perk up because this is information that I'm considering pretty new.
Yes, it's interesting. So galectin-3 is new to many people, yet there are 9,000 peer-reviewed publication and on a pectosal modified citrus pectin that blocks galectin-3. We just published our 70 paper in multiple centers. So it's slowly coming into the awareness, but you're right, it's new to most people. So galectin-3, because the survival protein inside our cell in the embryonal stage, it helps embryogenesis. For example, it helps the kidneys to develop normally. But later on in life, especially on the membrane and outside the cell, it protects us. And how do we protect? Through hiding and through fighting. So it creates the inflammatory response. So the inflammatory, you know, everybody knows about the cytokine storm. I mean, most people know because of the COVID.
Right.
Now, when I've been, cytokine storm has been in the center of my work for decades.
Right.
The molecule that starts at the top, that starts the cytokine storm, is galectin-3. For example, I just published a paper with multiple authors, including, you know, the number one ranked sepsis and acute kidney injury expert in the world.
Great. And Dr. Lies, I'd love to make your papers available to the viewers here. So if you can send me those after,
of course.
To the viewers.
So in this paper that was just published in Critical Care Medicine, which is one of the best critical care journals, we showed that when a patient comes to the ICU with sepsis and they have no kidney damage, no pre-existing condition, just like somebody who just got COVID, similar, right. And they're out of the blue. The ones with elevated galectin-3 at time of admissions will be the ones who later on will develop acute kidney injury and will die. But more than this, when we blocked galectin-3 before in an animal model, could you call it translational model, that is very reliable for sepsis and sepsis AKI. When we blocked the galectin-3 before creating the sepsis, we dramatically reduced mortality, kidney damage, and the spike in interleukin-6. So galectin-3 spikes within minutes. And interleukin 6, interleukin 1b, all the rest, TNF-alpha, they come much later. Now, Nafisa, these are the nasty inflammatory components that are creating our trouble with mycotoxins, with the brain fog, with all the dysfunction in the body. So it starts with galactin 3. And that's why addressing galactin 3 is so important, not only through using modified citrus pectin, but through trying to shift ourselves from a survival mode to a harmonious mode. Because, you know, these things are more than just a chemical. You know, I know, not everybody right. knows, but that's why we are talking. It's a bigger effect.
Right. So Isaac, I'm starting to think, if you don't mind, I want to take a little detour, okay? We're here to talk about mycotoxins. I'm going to be picking your brain about that. But I am starting to think about COVID-19 as you're talking about galactin 3, as you're talking about the inflammatory cytokines. If you don't mind, would you explain this? Because my mind is there right now. If we could just take a little detour, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
You know, I brought the idea of the survival response, the survival paradox. And we assume that we want to survive, right?
Right.
We know it. But guess what? Why does the bacteria or the fungus or the virus behave aggressively? They also want to survive.
Right.
So if we look at the spiking protein, the same protein that all the vaccines are going after, and this is published literature, the first one came like in July, August of 2020, it is practically identical to galactin 3. It's mind-blowing. The virus, just like we want to survive, what does it protect itself with? With galactin 3. And we know now that patients with galactin 3 and COVID will tend to have more acute kidney injury. You know, about 40% of hospitalized COVID patients have acute kidney injury. 50% of them will die. And more than this, there's a very large paper that was published. The last author is somebody. I published some papers when she was in Harvard, and I got her into galactin 3 6 years ago, and now she's a well-known researcher. So they published a paper from the largest hospital in Mexico City of COVID patients in the hospital. And regardless of the level of damage to the lungs, the level of galactin 3 at time of hospitalization determined who will get sicker and who will die. Why? Because of the cytokine storm. And this ties to something that, you know, we talk a lot about. The immune system is not about just responding. You don't want to over-respond. Right. You want to respond in a harmonious way. Like, respond and then let everything dissipate with no remnants. So what galactin 3 does, it turns on the alarm, and the alarm never turns off. And the people don't die from the virus.
Right. And they die from
the results of the inflammation.
And this is a part of the cell danger response, actually.
Totally.
Right? So
cell danger response is very similar a little bit later on, but yeah, it's exactly. So there is a cell danger response, there is an organ danger response, there is a person danger response. There is a society danger response,
which
experience in 2020, right? With division and fighting. It's all the same. It's the macrocosmos and us and every cell in our body. It all contains the same principle, the same wisdom.
Yes. This is one of the things I love most about you and the way you practice medicine, Isaac, is that you're very biochemical. You're very much a scientist, very much a doctor, and at the same time, a philosopher, and you bring in spirit and medicine. And I think that's beautiful and powerful.
Thank you.
Yes.
And so, you know, so when we look, so for example, if you look at mold, at mycotoxins, and you look at binders, one of the reasons why when you use modified citrus pectin, you don't get the aggravation, you just don't. And you know it from your patient, is because we're addressing galactin 3. So yes, modified citrus pectin has a great affinity for heavy metals, well published. Lead, mercury, arsenic, cadmium, even uranium and cesium, and radioactive materials. But in the same time, because it blocks galactin 3, it reduces the excessive inflammatory response, which is what causes all the side effects. And this is why it has such power And it can be integrated with any protocol. And of course, as you know, I use a lot of things, you use a lot of things. Then of course, we have some more dramatic method, which is my unique specialty in the last 6-7 years, which is therapeutic apheresis, which is, it's along the same lines, yeah.
Yeah, so I definitely want to talk to you more about apheresis on this interview. I want to stop and talk a little bit more about Pectisol, because I don't have one patient who's not on Pectisol, and you know how many patients I have. Many, many, many patients, everybody is on Pectisol. And I notice that it's a very different binder than the other binders. And most of my patients will notice an effect right away within 1 week of using the Pectisol. They're going to feel less inflamed. They actually start to feel better in their system. Sometimes it takes a couple months, but usually it's at least within 1 month, they notice the difference and they love it. And then they ask me, why is this different than other binders? Why do you focus on this binder more than you do on charcoal? So if you could speak to that, answer that for my patients, please.
Yeah, because really modified pectin in general and modified citrus pectin, which is fundamentally different, and it's close to my heart because I developed Pectisol, because it is over 70 published papers, and because I want to make sure that if people are using modified citrus pectin, they use a product that is reliable because it's a generic name. Modified citrus pectin is an effective galactin 3 blocker. So it blocks the damaging effect of galactin 3. So for example, I just mentioned the paper about the results in sepsis, right? But then we just submitted a multi-center trial about the effect of our modified citrus pectin in recurrent prostate cancer, biochemical recurrence, which is the prostate cancer has been removed and now it's starting to come back.
Yes.
And what we are allowing is the body to fight it by blocking galactin 3, because galactin 3 shuts down our immune response. And we got close to 80% response. It's going to go into so how does it do it? Because when you're using it as a binder, because it has an affinity to positively charged ions, so heavy metal loves to be in an environment of oxidized lipids. So heavy metals and toxins that are positively charged. In the same time, it reduces the inflammatory response. It prevents the fibrotic response. You know, MCP prevents inflammation and fibrosis, and it regulates the immune response. So you get a normal immune response, and you don't get hyperinflammation, or you don't get abnormal inflammation. And you know, you and I have seen this a lot. You get a Lyme patient with mycotoxins, and you look at the CRF protein is non-existent. Say, wow, it's so good. Well, when we look at TGF-beta, they're fibrotic, it skyrocket.
Exactly. Right?
And the galactin 3 is abnormally low. It's like 5.
Right. Well,
it's abnormally low because their system is not responding well. You give the modified citrus pectin, you break the shield.
Yeah.
Suddenly CRP comes from non-existent to 0.3, 0.4. Your TGF beta goes down from 15,000-20,000 to 5,000. You've got a normal immune response.
Right.
So this immune regulation is so important. We know when you take T cells and you put galactin 3 in the environment, you shut down the cytokines completely. In fact, the most expensive and promising anti-cancer drugs, the PD-L1 inhibitors, they do not work when galactin 3 level is high in the patient. It's known, it's published. If galactin 3 works, is higher than a certain level, a PD-L1 inhibitors don't work in lung cancer. Why? They shut down the immune response. Why do they do it? The cell, the cancer cell, wants to survive. It is using galactin 3 to evade the immune system. Remember, the survival concept is not only ours, it's the fungus also want to survive. The cancer cell always also wants to survive. So we always have to move between attacking, between cleaning, and between harmonizing. And it's a dance, you know, it's just like, you know, you are a healer. No, when we do, remember when we did some cranial sacral on some patient, you feel, you just let you let the work happen on its own, you know?
Yeah.
The magic of healing, right?
Yes, exactly. I want to talk to you about mycotoxins and how they affect the different systems of the body. They cause inflammation everywhere, as you know. They hijack the whole system. And I want you to tell us about MCP and how it affects inflammation positively in all the different systems of the body.
Right. So it's interesting because modified cytoprospectin was initially in 1995, the landmark paper by Dr. Pienta, who I just published a paper on MCP with, was on cancer. Mm-hmm. And when we started using modified cytoprospectin given to patients, we saw this comment that we didn't know initially. My joint pain is going away. My memory is better. I think clearly, you know.
Right.
And then we realized, wow. Then I realized very quickly, my blood pressure is normalized. I realized, wow, it harmonizes inflammatory response. So MCP is very important for neuroinflammation. We've published a number of papers, I mean, and other researchers who researched it, showing that Galactin 3 drives neuroinflammation. The same principle like we have with macrophage in our body, driven by Galactin 3, happen with glia and astrocytes in the brain. They become inflamed. And when you give them modified cytoprospectin, you reverse the process. So for neuroinflammation, it's very, and also remember, it's pulling out the heavy metals, which are key.
Right. And yeah. So our patients with mycotoxin illness, they have a lot of neuroinflammation.
Absolutely.
Significant. And so when we give them the modified cytoprospectin, it's actually helping to work on the neurological system to bring the inflammation down, block the galactin 3. That's very, very exciting.
Yeah, as you know, in clinic treatment with phosphatidylcholine, you know, and glutathione,
right.
You are changing the environment of the membranes. And again, a lot of these toxic lipids are sitting on the biofilm.
Right.
So when you do this and you give modified cytoprospectin, it will work better. So it's really an enhancer. It's a standalone, but it really enhances practically almost every treatment because it allows the body to address the issue. We have to remember that the areas of problems in our body, regardless of what they are, one, they're usually inflamed. And two, the body has less control of them because something is going wrong. So galactin 3 is always involved. If you look at chronic kidney disease, you look at NASH and and liver disease, you look at pulmonary fibrosis, if you look at congestive, at heart failure, if you look at cancer, if you look at autoimmunity, you look at sepsis, AKI, all of them, galactin 3 is elevated compared to control. And within the disease, the higher galactin 3, the sicker the person is. So addressing galactin 3 is key. And we live in a society of survival, you know, because of the speed of life. Right. We live in an inflamed society, right?
We sure do.
Yeah, so it's part of the whole picture.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. So I have seen a lot of patients at your clinic undergo apheresis, and I've seen it help a lot of people. I've seen it help the people that nothing else helps as well. So can you talk to us about apheresis in general? I want to hear about your patent because I know that your apheresis is different than. And I think it's more powerful than the other apheresis I've seen around. And then finally, I'd also like you to tell us if you're open for patients to come in who need apheresis to your clinic as well. So
therapeutic apheresis has really become my focus. I've simplified my life, no longer many doctors and many nurses, and I'm focusing on therapeutic apheresis, and I treat people one-on-one. I treat everybody myself now, and so it's very different. It's fewer people with a lot of focus. So therapeutic apheresis is similar to dialysis, but different. Mm-hmm. So it's a high-tech treatment. You pull out the blood, you know, it's using FDA-approved system, and you pull out the blood, you separate the cells from the plasma, and you run the plasma through a filter. And the filter has affinity to oxidized lipids. So just oxidized, it will not pull HDL, it will pull LDL, it will pull out all the oxidized lipids, it will pull out lipoprotein A, which is nasty. Lipoprotein A is almost a pre-existing condition for mycotoxins to work because no oxygen is coming into the tissue. It will pull C-reactive protein and it will pull out all the excessive growth factors and cytokines that are causing the inflammatory damage. So this is in general, this approach in unrelated in research, I'm developing a column for galactin 3 that I hope to get an approval for sepsis in the hospitals. That's a project I'm working on for many years.
So this would be helpful to all kinds of illnesses that are sort of post-infective, I would say. So once the infection has hit, the person might not have replicative viruses or bacteria or mold anymore, but the inflammation is still in the system. We've killed the bug, but now the person is still inflamed. We do all kinds of detox, right. Still not working.
So yeah, but actually it pulls mold and mycotoxin in the way that nothing does.
Right.
Why? Because you don't need the body to do it. The person sits and we run more than one plasma volume. Uh-huh. While we do this, I run specialized custom-made IVs that make the cells release the mycotoxins and all the oxidized heavy metals and all the inflammatory compounds.
Yes.
And we collect, the machine collects them. So in different times in the process, I give different IVs. And at the end, once the person is off the machine, we'll give them just IVs to help them out, like, based on what they need. So yes, in many levels, what apheresis does, you can give glutathione from here to the end of the world. For certain people, it's great, but for some people, it just will not do the trick.
Right. So you're saying that the person can be in the middle of infection and it's still going to be effective?
Of course.
Maybe once the infection has been killed, it's still effective. So you could give apheresis throughout.
Absolutely. Especially, for example, if you're giving somebody antibiotic therapy and you're producing a lot of byproducts. Yeah, definitely. It's very effective around cancer, of course, around chemotherapy, immunotherapy.
Right.
We also pull out about 30% of galactin 3. So we pull out fibrinogen. So the person becomes less hyperviscous, less inflamed, and then they can respond to the other treatment. And the nice thing is you are treating the person outside their body. So there are practically no side effects.
Right. So, Isaac, patients have traveled to Germany to go get apheresis. Americans have traveled to Germany. And
I know.
I'm sure they had a great experience, but I think that they could come closer to home now for apheresis. They don't need to go to Germany if you're accepting patients.
Of course, and also it's different. I visited the German place, and maybe now their device is different, but it's a size exclusion.
Uh-huh.
So it pulls out a lot of stuff, but it also pulls out proteins.
Right.
So the patient is exhausted.
Yes.
And here, the rule of thumb for most people, unless rarely not, but I would say well over 90% of the people, they feel better after the apheresis. They don't feel wiped out. And then of course, we do it on the context. So I collaborate with a lot of doctors where they do the care and I just focus on the apheresis and what's and around it. And if they want, then I can kind of zoom in the way we talked and find, there's always a story. It's mind blowing, the story behind the patient. And if you find the story, everything will unwind. And there's always a story. Just let the patient tell you the story and she or he will tell you to. So that's really the art of it. It's just listening and letting the story surface,
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you, Isaac. What a great
interview. Thank you.
Yeah. And if you have any resources you'd like to share with the audience, please email them to me because I know they're going to want to hear more about apheresis. And I know they're going to want to see your research.
And then also the survival paradox is going to be out, hopefully out right now.
So very exciting.
It should be available on Amazon. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
Thank you for being here. Bye for now.